When I come into his presence, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. When I come into his presence, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. In his presence, there's anointing. As the Spirit moves around us, in his presence, the anointing breaks the yoke. Praise the Lord. I want to begin by thanking God for his loving kindness, thanking him for giving us this rare opportunity to come back to people that have become like a family to us, to see your beautiful faces once again after a very, very long time. I want to thank God for Reverend Dennis, whom 30 years ago we ran into each other in a very unusual circumstance in Jerusalem. And God bonded us together. We became friends from that time to today. And I want to thank God for our present pastor, Pastor Eddie. The Bible said that known unto God are all the works of his hand. When Pastor Eddie came with Reverend Dennis to Nigeria, little did we know that he's going to be the one that will succeed Dennis in leading this great church. So we thank God that God, who knew everything, started bringing us together. I also want to appreciate God for Reverend Dennis' wife, Pat, for the good work they have done in this place. We will forever remain grateful to them, and the kingdom of God will never forget them. I want to thank God for Mark, who is associate to Pastor Eddie. Of course, I want to appreciate God for Pastor Eddie's wife, Emma. When we visited our home, they gave us a very lovely meal. So we've just been watching our weight, because the older you grow, the lesser you begin to eat. So I want to thank God too that God made it possible for my wife, my friend, the mother of my children, my advisor, my secretary, to make it to come here to be with me after some very unforeseen situation we passed in trying to secure a ticket to come into this place. I appreciate every one of you for whatever thing you are doing to keep this church going. The God whom we all serve together will richly and abundantly bless each one of you. Amen. It is no crime to say amen in the house of God. It's no crime to shout hallelujah if you feel like doing so. The Bible said that wherever the Spirit of God is, there is bound to be a glorious liberty. So let there be liberty here this morning. Amen. I want to share with you a message that God has burdened my heart to share. And that message is from the Gospel of Mark. Mark Gospel. Mark chapter 10. The same text is also found in Matthew chapter 19 and in Luke chapter 18. I'm going to be picking things from these three gospel writers as I present this message as God lay it upon my heart. So I will want us to stand together as we read the word of God. In honor to the word of God, that's how I do in the church where I pastor. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. We'll read in this order. I will read verse 17, and every one of you will read 18. I will read 19. We go in that order until we come to verse number 22. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Verse 18, everybody, you read.
No one is good except God alone.
Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. 20, everybody.
Teacher, always I have kept since I was a boy.
Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. 22, everybody.
And he was served by Israel. He went away grieved, for he had great possessions.
And the people say, Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. The topic I want to share jumps out from the statement of our Lord Jesus Christ in the text we have just read. And the topic I'm sharing is titled, One Thing Thou Lackest. One Thing Thou Lackest. One Thing Thou Lackest. The truth that Jesus wanted to pass over to mankind is so important that three out of the four gospel writers, they recorded it. And it is good that we watch out for this setting as we read the scriptures. When we see what God has said in one book of the Bible, and repeats it in another book of the Bible, and repeats it in another book of the Bible, you know that there is something important that God wants to pass across to us. Of course, the Bible said, God declares in his word, that in the mouth of two and three witnesses, every word shall be established. Mark wrote about this statement and this happening, which is just being read. We have just read. Matthew wrote about it, and Luke wrote about it. I want to observe something about the character in the text we have just read. I want to observe certain observations, certain things that Jesus said in terms of the character of this man, and the asset of this man and his religious lifestyle. His assets, his character, his religious lifestyle, I also talk about his problem. First of all, in Matthew chapter 19, verse 22, the Bible makes it clear that this young man who came running toward Jesus Christ was rich. He was a rich man, for he had great possession. He was rich, was a rich man. He had great possession. Having great possession is one thing that people all over the world clamors for. Here in Britain, over in Nigeria, in America, among the Asian continent, you see that people want to be wealthy. People want to be rich. And this young man was rich. He had great possession. And this quest of wanting to get rich, wanting to get wealthy, wanting to have money, it also one of the things that imprisons the hearts of men and women, the soul of men and women, and blind their eyes from coming to know the God who has created them, who loved them so dearly, and sent his only begotten Son to come and die for them. Wanting to get wealth, wanting to be rich, has blinded the eyes of many people. Wanting to get wealth, wanting to have more and more, had closed the vision of people from knowing that life does not end on the planet Earth, that there is eternity before us. And many people are putting everything to make sure that they become wealthy. They have more and more. And the more they get, the more they still want to get. And that's one of the problems that we have in our country, Nigeria. We have some politicians who think that they can get all the whole money that God has given to Nigeria and put it into their private pocket. And the more they get, the more they want to get. They can do anything, whether good or bad, to make sure that they get more. This man was wealthy. But Jesus said unto him, in spite of the fact that you are wealthy, in spite of the fact that you have great possession, there is still one thing that you are lacking. The other thing I observe about this young man that we have just mentioned here is that Jesus said he was young. Matthew 19:20. He was young. Underscore the fact that this was a young man. For the Bible says, and the young man came and said unto him, all these things I have done. He came to Jesus and said, what shall I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus told him the commandments of God. And the Bible said, the young man said unto Jesus, all these things I have observed from my youth. Everyone want to be younger. People try to do everything to remain young or to remain young. I thank God for the fact that the man was young. If there is any young man here, I want you to know that God wants us to know him when we are young. The scripture makes it clear and says, remember thou thy creator in the time of your youth. This young man was young. He used that advantage wanting to know the Lord. Remember thy creator in the time of thy youth, when the evil day has not come. There are many young men all over the world, boys and girls, who do not possess this kind of quality the young man had. Young man, yes, he came running after Jesus. Young man, yes, he wanted to know the way to inherit eternal life. Is there any young man here? Is there any young girl here? Is there any young boy here? I want you to borrow a leaf from the character of this young man who came running after Jesus. Both young and old, we need to come running after Jesus. Both young and old, we need to inquire from Jesus what to do to inherit eternal life. Of course, Jesus has the answer. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father except by me. Whether you are young, whether you are old, the only way to get eternal life is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept him as your personal Lord and Savior and begin to serve him as you live your life on planet Earth. The other thing I notice about this man that we have just mentioned, remember, first, he was wealthy. Two, he was rich. Number three, Jesus mentioned that he was a ruler. In Luke Gospel chapter 18, verse 18, Jesus referred to him as a ruler. A certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Was a ruler. And people want to be rulers. But God is not wanting to raise leaders, rulers. God wants to raise leaders. There's a world of difference between a ruler and a leader. So I don't know the one you would like to be. Do you want to be a ruler or do you want to be a leader? A leader in your house, a leader of your children, a leader who lives in the church, who has a certain work he's doing for God. In fact, Jesus said that it is the Gentile people who want to be rulers because they want to lord it over others. Even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he said unto the disciples, when they were struggling among themselves, I think the mother of James and John started the whole problem. She came to the Lord and said, I want to make a request of you, Jesus. Jesus said, what is the request? She said unto Jesus, I want you to grant unto my two sons, so that one will sit on your right hand and one on your left hand in your kingdom. She wanted the two sons to be rulers. Little did she know that Jesus has not come to raise rulers. He has come to raise men and women and young people who can serve God, who can see themselves as servants and serve God. And the disciples started quarreling among themselves. Why should it be John? Why should it be James? Why not me? And Jesus noticed the argument and the intention of their heart. And Jesus said unto them, listen to me, my disciples. The leaders, the rulers of the Gentiles, they exercise authority over one another. But it shall not be so among you. Whoever wants to lead should see himself as a servant. I am in your, even though I am your Lord and Master, but I am here in your midst as one who serves. Praise the Lord. What kind of attitude do you have as you live your life on planet Earth? Do you have a ruler's attitude, or do you want to be a servant and lead in the house of God, in the church of God, and do what God wants you to do? The other thing that was going for the man was that he has a good character. He was religious. This is one credit going for him. He was religious. When he saw Jesus, he was running forward to meet Jesus. And the Bible says he knelt down before Jesus. He knelt down. There was something that made him know that Jesus is higher than every other thing. I wanted to look at that very closely. When last did you fall on your knees before the Almighty God? When last did you go on your knees seeking the help that comes from Jesus? We need to remember that Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. In the evening, God willing, I'll be saying more things along that line. Any man who wants to win and be successful in life, you must know how to go down on your knees to seek the presence of God. Any church that wants to be useful to God, that wants to evangelize the community wherein God has planted them, that church must know how to go down on their knees seeking the face of the Lord. Jesus said that we have not chosen him, but he has chosen us and ordained us that we should go and bear fruit, and that our fruit shall remain. And that whatsoever thing we ask him, he will give it unto us. So how many of us can say that we have learned it, this truth? We are kneeling down. We have learned the attitude of kneeling down before the Lord. That was what that young man had going on for him. He wanted to know more about God. He wanted to know what to do to please the Lord. This should be the attitude of every child of God. Never you come to a point you say, I have arrived. I don't need teaching. I don't need to come to church. I don't need to come to the prayer meeting. I don't need to listen to my pastor. No, we need to remain a continuous student as we live our life. The other thing he has going for him, he asked the right question of life. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? He was not a free thinker. There are many people who do not believe there is life after this one that we are living in. But the Bible makes it clear. Jesus makes it clear There is life after this one that we are living in. We need to prepare ourselves for eternity. We need to prepare ourselves for eternal life. We need to make sure that we have accepted Jesus into our life so that we will be in the heaven that Jesus has gone to prepare for us. The disciples in Luke chapter 10, Jesus sent them out to go and preach. And they came back excited and said to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, even the demons were made subject to us in your name. They were so excited. But Jesus made a striking statement and said unto them, I saw Satan fell down from heaven long time ago. Do not rejoice because you kept this, that you knew and you are sure that your names are written in the book of eternal life. Praise the Lord. Every one of us needs to be sure. You need to be sure that your name is written in the life to come. Your name is written among those that God is going to grant. However, this young rich ruler had a problem. What was his problem? After having told Jesus all his exploit, Jesus said unto him, one thing thou lackest. There is one thing he was lacking. And part of his problem was his possession. Note that. There is no sin in being wealthy. There is no sin in being rich. There's no sin in having many things that God has given to you. There is no sin in them. However, if you are not careful, you can allow your possession, you can allow your wealth, you can allow all that you have to blind your eyes. And all that you know and see is in the now. That was the problem of this rich young ruler. He allowed what he had to blind his eyes. He allowed what he has to stop him from doing the will of God. And Jesus said unto him, one thing that thou lackest. So I want to ask us today, what is the one thing that we are lacking? Find out one thing that you are lacking. I don't know what it is. I may not point my hand on it. But as we sit in the presence of God, and God is saying to you and to me, one thing thou lackest. I want you to begin to find that one thing. To the church of Ephesus, Jesus wrote them a letter and said unto them, you have done so many things good and well, but I have one thing against you. What's wrong with the church in Ephesus? The Ephesian church. Jesus said, I have one thing against you. Is anybody here this morning that you can hear the Spirit of God saying unto you, I have one thing against you? What was Jesus? What was the one thing that Jesus had against the church of Ephesians? First love. I don't know whether there's anybody who falls in that line. You used to love God before, but it is gone. He used to be out on the streets winning souls and talking to people about the salvation that is found in Jesus Christ. You never do that again. The passion has died. That zeal has died. Jesus said to this young man, one thing thou lackest. To the church of Ephesians, he said, I have one thing against you. That was the same problem with the church of Laodicea. In Revelation chapter 3, this church was to some extent like the young man, like this rich young ruler. Jesus said unto them, you boast, you have powerful men. You boast that you have large congregation. You boast that you are wealthy. You are strong. You have political great men in your church. But Jesus said unto them, you do not know. I want you to know that you are blind, you are poor, you are wretched. Why? Because there is the owner of the church who's supposed to be in the midst of the Laodicean church was no more there. Through their behaviors, through their lifestyle, through their attitude, they have pushed the owner of the church outside of the church. The owner of the church was no more the center of their life. The owner of the church was no more the center of their loyalty. The owner, the word of the owner of the church does not govern their lives any longer. And that was why Jesus said unto them, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." You don't knock when you are inside their house, do you? Hello, church. Do you knock when you are inside there? No. You only knock when you are outside. This was a church that Jesus was supposed to be the owner. But he was now outside. He can now say to this church, "I have one thing against you. And that one thing is you have pushed me, who's supposed to be your Lord and Master, who's supposed to be the owner of the church, you have pushed me outside. And now, be Jesus in your life." Where is Jesus in Battle Baptist Church? Is he inside or outside? Where is Jesus in your personal life? Is he inside or outside? Where is Jesus in our individual family? Is it inside or outside? One thing that thou lackest, you have put the owner of the church outside. You have put you, that is not where he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be inside, controlling, directing, governing our lives. One thing that thou lackest. That was the problem of Martha, the sister of Mary, who was visiting their home. Jesus was ministering to the people who came to their house. Martha was just concerned to go and prepare food for Jesus. He said, Reverend, what are you talking about? Does Jesus not like good food? Oh, I know he does. I like good food too. And I've been having plenty of it since I came to stay with you. However, one thing was important at that particular moment. Jesus will not repeat that visit again. He was going to die on the cross. All he needed to share to the people that came to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus was a particular moment. Mary sat down with other people listening to what Jesus was sharing. Martha was here running all over the place. He will carry plate. Go and carry one ball. He will move this until she became angry. Even while doing that, she decided to disrupt the whole service. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care? I am running all over the place. I'm suffering. Why not you ask my sister Mary to come and help me?" And Jesus said unto her, "Martha, Martha, you are worrying yourself over too many things. One thing is important and needful. And your sister has found that one thing, which shall not be taken away from him." What is that one thing? It is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him, hearing his voice, communing with him. I don't know whether there's anybody that has lost that part of our Christian living. Just to sit with Jesus and hear him minister to us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, lest we forget, as much as God will want us to do great things for him, one of the main reasons why he has called us is that we might sit at his feet and listen to what he's saying. Mark said he chose the 12. Number one, that they might be with him. Before number two, that he will send them to go and preach the gospel. Unless we learn that one thing of being with Jesus, we are going to miss so much in our relationship with him. One thing is very important. And we must not let that one thing pass. And because he lacked that one thing, when Jesus now told him, go and sell all the things you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. The Bible said that if the countenance of the man changed. Why did his countenance change? It is not because Jesus asked him to go and sell all his wealth and give to the poor. That is not the reason. Because that would have given him even more, would have given him more honor, something to praise about in the society. Why did his countenance change? His countenance changed when Jesus said unto him, go and sell all the things you have given to the poor and come and follow after me. He was not willing to come and follow after Jesus. He was willing to be known as a wealthy man, as a millionaire, as a great power holder, but was not willing to come and identify with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He ended up in sadness because he was not ready to let go and accept Jesus Christ, who is the author of eternal life. I want to draw my message to a close this morning. I want you to look into your life. Is there one thing that God is not happy with? Is there one thing you are doing wrongly? Is there one thing that God is not happy with you? If there is, allow me to say to you, it is time to let go and let God have his way. We have a song that says, let go and let God have his wonderful way. Let go and let God have his way. Your sorrow will vanish. Your night turned to day. Let go and let God have his way. Is there one thing that is making God not to bless you, not to break into your family and release a power and blessing? It is time to let go. It is time to let go. Is there any one thing that this church is doing that does not allow the power of God to move here, that does not give us the freedom and the liberty that God will want to exist among his people? It is time to let go. Is there one thing that's supposed to draw us closer to God? It is time to let go and let God have his way. If there is anyone here who you have not even made your decision to follow Jesus at all, it is time to let go, because we don't know what tomorrow may hold. It's time to let go and let God have his way. What is keeping you from serving Jesus better? It's time to let go. I challenge you to throw it away today. That one thing you are lacking, you may not even know it, because there are several people who don't know their real need in this life. If you fall within that circle, even as we are in the presence of God this morning, you can say, God, I want you to open my eyes. Show me one thing that I lack. And definitely he will speak to you. One thing that thou lackest. What is that one thing? Let it go and let Jesus have his way. What is that one thing that does not allow you to be the man, the woman, the boy, the girl that God wants you to be? Let it go. What is that one thing that stops you from being the true ambassador of Jesus Christ in this community? Let it go and let God have his way. I pray that as we let go, God, who has called us, who has saved us, He's going to come and change us and make us the people that he wants us to be. Shall we stand up together? As we are standing together this morning, I want you to think over what I have said. Is there any one thing you know is wrong in your life? Is there any one thing you know that God is not happy about? Is there any one thing that is drawing you backward instead of coming forward?